I would invite your attention this morning to the book of James, chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 13 through 17. And I will entitle the message like this: Get Life in a Right Perspective. Get Life in a Right Perspective. I suppose that any time of trial and tragedy, folks begin to reflect on life and try to make some sense out of things that go on, and I believe the Word of God has the answer. Get a right perspective on life itself, and I believe it'll give us some direction here that we need today in this particular passage. Let's take a moment and pray, then we'll read verses 13 through 17 of James chapter 4. Father, it's real precious to be able to call you Father and to know assuredly that You have received us as Your son, as Your daughters. And I pray that You'll bless. Now, this time that we have together and opportunity to read the Word of God and preach the message, and I pray that our Lord be glorified in everything that's said and done. We'll praise You for what You do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell, and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, it is sin. What is your life this morning? And get life in a proper perspective. And I hope this morning that we can assist you and help you to get life in a proper perspective. First of all, I want to pose a question and ask you, what is your life in its origin? I think we need to know what life is so that we might answer this question and look into this matter of getting life in a proper perspective. We might ask, is life just a spontaneous act? As you look in a lot of the books of science today, they talk about just how that all of a sudden, just spontaneously, life came into existence. I have great difficulty with that position. I don't believe it at all. I believe that there is an origin and a source of life today. First of all, there's just too much other indication that life is more complicated than just a spontaneous act out of a scum that there's no explanation for. I mean, it gets real complicated whenever you get into this theory of evolution, how that you had to have chemicals and scum and electricity and no explanation of how any of it got here. I want you to know that life is a precious thing. I believe it's complicated because it comes from God. But it's simple to God, and therefore He gives us a real look at life and understanding of life. But it's not just a spontaneous act. If that were true, then we're just an accident here with no purpose, no plan, and no future. But life is more than that. So I want you to then ask yourself, am I a creature of evolution or am I a creature of God? As we think about the origin of life today, I believe emphatically that we are a creature of God. I appreciate what the Bible tells us about the creation of man. God formed a body from the dust of the ground. Then He breathed into the nostrils of that body, that man, and he became a living soul. Before that, and even after his body was formed, it had no life. But when God breathed into that body had life. We then certainly understand that the origin of life comes from God Himself. And if life is the gift of God, then it must be considered very seriously because it is a gift that's been given to us. And we dare not be careless about it. Tell you today, honestly, that knowing that life is a gift of God, first of all, it brings thankfulness to my heart that God has given me existence. But then, I'm also conscious of the trust that has been given to me. To be careful about it, not only just with the fact that it is, because we can put ourselves in a place of jeopardy and lose our lives very quickly, carelessly with no purpose. One thing if you have to die for a friend, it's another thing to just die carelessly, without any purpose. So we need to take life very seriously this morning and consider it seriously because it is a gift of God. We've been trusted with it. And then, of course, I believe that life was given to us with the ultimate purpose is to bring glory to the Lord. So we need to look at it very carefully today. The origin of our life, and we'll certainly believe that it is from the omnipotent hand of God, and that it is a gift to us today. You might ask then, since God has given us life, what is the prospect of your life under the sun? If I might just interject this here, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, read it with the thought in mind, under the sun. It's talking about physical life here on planet Earth this morning. And as we consider this matter of getting life in a proper perspective, I think we have to look at what our prospect of life is under the sun. First of all, we have life or existence. In our text, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth. In other words, we have life. It's appeared. If you don't believe that, just look down. You've got a body that's functioning today. Draw a good deep breath. Thank God for that breath today. Life has been given and we have received it today. We have life or existence here under the sun. But I remind you that there is an aging process. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, I tried to give these old folks a little bit of hope. To Israel, it's promised that, and to Jerusalem in particular as a city, that it's going to be safe enough one day so the old folks can get out in the streets as well as the children. But he said they'll be leaning upon their staff. So, folks, it is scriptural to carry a walking cane as you get older. I'm closer to it today, I suppose, than I've ever been, just as you are. So it's not unscriptural if you need a cane, carry a cane, but I want you to know that there is a natural process of aging. That's our prospect here under the sun. And the prospect here under the sun is that it will soon vanish away. I've talked to some folks on up in years. And there's one thing that's common to all, they'll say, it seems like it was just yesterday when I was such a young person. And now I've reached this age and I have come a long ways. We mentioned the lady last week before that went by and visited with for a moment. She's reached the mark of 100 years. But if you were to talk to her, she would remind you that she can remember when she was a little girl, it seemed like yesterday. That's life. That's prospect of life under the sun. And that'll be true in every one of our lives. You'll not escape the aging process, and the truth of the matter is, Solomon said very ably that when he spoke regarding death, he said there is no discharge in that war. We're not going to be dismissed, except, of course, the Lord come for us, then we'll be thankful to be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, the last trump. But by and large, as we look at it, we're dealing with the prospect of life under the sun. We have existence, we have life. There is the aging process, and it'll soon vanish away. But what we need to do then is look at life for a moment, the prospect of it in content. Look at our lives and evaluate. Now, the prospect of life in its content is as varied as the clouds are. It is even, as he described life, a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. So as we think about life, it is varied. It differs from one person to another. in my own experience, I, as just a young fellow, in about 12, maybe into that first year of a teenage, 13, there's a young fellow that was in the same school where I was. He was a year younger than I am. He and his brother got an old chopped down car. And they don't do this so much anymore, but used to, you'd strip one down, just leave nothing but a floor pan in it and seat, and maybe a windshield on it. And your idea was get it as light as you can so it'll run as fast as it will. Well, that young fellow ran that thing through a barbed wire fence. So the prospect of his life and the content of his life was changed drastically. Lived for a few days and died. Remember the funeral, I went to it. At the time not being saved, I didn't perceive, but it was a clarion call from God to a bunch of the rest of us there. We need to be saved. But I present to you the fact that life is as varied as the clouds. You might be able to attain 100. Some of us probably won't. Some will have extremely busy lives. Others may not be as busy. But I present to you the fact that life is varied. Clouds have a lot in common. They're all clouds. We're all human. And we all have life this morning. We look at the common thing. The common denominator with us all is that we're here and we have life. The circumstances are often varied. I've seen some pleasant clouds, and I've seen some turbulent clouds that would come. You don't have to go too far north here to get in what they call Tornado Alley. And you can watch, and those clouds will sometimes form upon it, it'll dip down, and it'll leave a path of destruction behind it. If you don't believe that, go up to Wichita Falls, Texas, and begin to talk with folks there and ask them about their tornado. And the one that they'll call to mind was when that thing came through a great portion of the town and the city, and it left a path of destruction. Took months and even years to rebuild and to restore. Probably still marks of it today. So life is like clouds. They have a lot in common, but then also the circumstances are varied as far as what they might do in life. Some will have to live a life with great conflict. Others will live a life maybe that is more tranquil. But again, the prospect of life and its content is that regardless, it vanishes away. So it leads us to a point here I want to look into this morning as we're thinking about the prospect of life and its content. Let's look at some Bible characters and just survey their life for a moment as we try to get this into perspective today. Let's look at the first man. I think he'd be a pattern to study. Adam. Here was a man that had the fellowship of God. Now you talk about a privilege. None of us have ever known anything like that. As far as walking physically in the presence of God, and Adam did. The Bible said the Lord God came in the cool of the day and walked with him. Now, from a believer's perspective this morning, I know what it is to walk in fellowship with the Lord. God, I've been saved by His grace. I have the Holy Spirit within me, as you as a believer do. And I'm thankful for that privilege to fellowship with God. But to know that particular fellowship that Adam had, like he had, was unique and distinct. He had purpose. God had given him a dominion. And he was to control it and to take care of it and to rule over it. He had a place. The Garden of Eden. We talk about our houses today and our places, and we sometimes look out and we say, boy, I've got a beautiful garden. I've got a beautiful yard. I dare say it didn't compare to their garden, their yard. So he had a great deal going for him. He had relationship. God had given him a wife. Lot, this man had. But then it changed. By the entrance of sin. We look at his life and we evaluate it. I mean, he had a lot going for him. But just in a moment, in one act, that man's life changed. And all of our lives changed because of it. Because you're kin to Adam today. Let's think about a couple of New Testament characters for a moment. As we look at life and these characters in the Bible, there's couple of brothers, James and John. By and large, I would believe they lived a normal life with some teenage turbulence like others did have. They had some growing pains because they were called sons of thunder. Most of us got some nicknames along the way because of some character and characteristic in our lives, and I'll not tell you what mine were. We'll leave that to discretion. But these young men were called sons of thunder. Now, I'm sure that they raised some Cain and they were well named. Doesn't mean they were extremely bad nor worthy of prison, but just that was a part of their life and their growth pattern as we think about their lives. But they, in the process of all that went on, had a good relationship with their father. They worked in the family business with their father. And they seemingly got along with the father all right. Now, that sometimes is a little more difficult than you might think it is. To work with a son in business or to work with a dad. If you were to ask my son Billy, he says it's a little tough sometimes to work with dad. Finally, toward the latter part of our association in business, he never asked who's going in the attic. Electricians by trade and installers by trade. And he finally got to where he didn't even ask Dad who's going in the attic. He knew he was. But James and John were in business with their father. They were fishers by trade. And they had plans to continue the family business. They had a lot going for them, but there's one thing they still lacked in their life. They had a good relationship with father. Their lives had not been so turbulent that they couldn't grow up, even though they were sons of thunder. But they still lacked something. Even though they had the prospect of a business, even that would go on after their father's death. We think about Saul of Tarsus as we're looking at lives of Bible characters this morning. Saul was born right. You don't believe that, just read his pedigree, book of Philippians. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin. On my dad's side, I can't even go back beyond my granddad. I don't even know a thing about the family. What little I found out, I was kind of glad I didn't know. There's a wild bunch on one side of that family, as I got just a brief word of it one time. I'm talking about the kind that was more than sons of thunder. But I don't know anything about family, so to trace a pedigree wouldn't mean a lot, as far as I'm concerned. But Paul had a pedigree. When they asked him, "Who are you?" he'd say, "I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm a son of Benjamin." So he's born right. Apparently he's raised right. I mean, you don't find a lot about his life that was contrary. In his own testimony, I don't think he'd lie about it. He said, "As touching the righteousness of the law, I was blameless." Right. He was raised right. I tried to do the same with my sons. Sometimes it was by force. Just as well as your life. But it was still, you had to keep them under control. I realize today that there's a lot of liberal thinking, but I think children need to be controlled. For their own good as well as for your peace of mind. And because of the sake of God's Word, what He has to say about it. But this man was raised right. He was educated right. He had a good education. I think probably he could speak as many as 7 languages. We know he could speak at least 3. He had a purpose that was determined. He had a goal before him. He had reason to live because he intended to step out the name of Jesus Christ from the face of the earth. He pursued his purpose in life with intensity. He was given to it, obsessed with it. His purpose in life was to persecute Christians, and he did his dead devil best to do so. He stood and helped the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death. He had letters with full authority to go to Damascus and to put people in prison and put them to death if necessary. He pursued his life with intensity. He had a real purpose. But he was still lacking when we think about his life. Finally, he himself will say, I count all of these things lost except for Jesus Christ. Except for Jesus Christ. I present to you the fact that as we look at life, they are varied. I look at a man named Job. One time, Job's life was good. I'm telling you, you read of Job, and his life was good. His family lived relatively controlled lives. He would, the kids might party, but he would always offer offerings in case they had sinned unbeknownst. And he had his possessions, he had his health, and a lot of things were going good for Job. But suddenly it fell apart. Marauder stole everything. Death took his children. His health is gone and he's very desperate. As we look at life. Another Bible character, the woman of Samaria. A life of broken relationships. She had five husbands. Living with a man at that time she wasn't married when the Lord met her. Couldn't find the man that made her happy. Had a need in her life. Prodigal son had a life of abundance. He had the father's love. He had morals, but he went insane. Finally, he came to his senses, the Bible said. He came to himself. He said, what am I doing here? My father's hired servants are better off than I am. He purposed he'd find his way home. In every life, there is a void that only can be satisfied by God. You might be like Paul, you've been born right, you've been raised right, you've had your purpose and you've intensely followed that purpose. Your life might be as disorganized and disheveled as the woman of Samaria who's never had a good relationship anywhere in life. But regardless of the extremes, we're talking about life itself, how varied the clouds are, how varied lives are, there's one thing in common, we have existence today. And every one of us have a need in our lives that only God can fill. Let's get life in perspective today. And understand that there's only one that can meet the need of our lives. Each of our characters that we've looked at this morning needed Jesus Christ. We think about these sons of thunder. They needed Jesus Christ. The Lord saved them and then one day He called them and said, you get out of the ship, you leave the family business and come follow me. We think about Adam, and here was a man that transgressed and he sinned. And the Bible said that that day, literally, he died. Not only he died, but we died. As in Adam, all died, according to the Word of God. What's his need? Jesus Christ. What's your need this morning? Jesus Christ. We think about Paul with all of his attributes. What did he need? Jesus Christ. On the road to Damascus with full authority to do what he had determined to do, there was the light that shined round about him brighter than the noonday sun, which meant it was divine light, came that day. He said, who art thou, Lord? And the answer is, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, what do you have me to do, Lord? Yielded. Needed Jesus Christ. The woman of Samaria, she had to go around about it a ways, but in the final analysis, the light dawned and peace came when Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. She needed Jesus Christ. The prodigal son needed his father and ultimately would indicate he needed Jesus Christ. In every life, there is that void that only God can satisfy. And it's true in your life. It was true in mine. It'll be true in every life. Just to draw it to conclusion this morning, and everybody would say amen. What is your life this morning? I want to pose that question. What is your life this morning? Not yesterday, not what you might hope for tomorrow, but right now. What is your life? Are you desperate enough to ask, what must I do to be saved this morning? Like the Philippian jailer. If so, the answer is Jesus Christ. If you're ask in heaven, what is your life? You say, the gift of God through Jesus Christ the Lord. We get there. And you ask, what is your life? You say, it's a gift of God. I'm here by God's grace. I'm here because of Jesus Christ. What is your life this morning? Are you a believer? Are you still standing in that darkness of unbelief? What is your life this morning? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away, physically speaking. Spiritually speaking, what is your life? Do you have life in Jesus Christ, or are you still struggling with the issue of sin and the desperation of a heart that knows not peace because there is no Lord in your life? What is your life this morning? I trust you'll consider it seriously and with final, full resolve say, I'll trust Jesus Christ.